back, Underground Espionage, episode 52. I just hit the mic, Tara.
I'm so proud of you. Oh my goodness.
Well, thank you very much. Tara, hello.
Hi, Mike. Oh, I'm going to jump a little. I just don't think.
Here we go.
I think that, Mike, you aren't prepared for how chill I am today. Like my lack of sense of urgency, my relaxed demeanor. I think that it's all taken you aback a bit.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how I would.
I'm on no particular timeline really, right now. I'm just,
I don't know if that's how I would ever really describe you, but.
Like ever, really.
Really, like, really ever, but we are here. It's been a minute, but we have been swirling in the chaos vortex.
Yeah. You know, like certain periods of time, I'm sure everybody can relate to this. Like, have you ever kind of just had something insane happen and then you're like reflecting? You're like, a lot of insane things have been happening. I know we've discussed many times on tour when, you know, we're driving through a town that looks like a ghost town, and just like a series of weird events, such as roads being closed by high winds and meeting a couple ladies named Nancy in Mount Shasta, seeing a UFO, ending up in strange places with strange people, generally pleasantly. That's your chaos vortex. And we have certainly been experiencing one.
Yeah, and it's been lingering this year, and as I've said on pretty much every damn episode this year, I've said that, you know, there's something in the air in 2026, and now there's just an energy here that is palpable and that is vibrating in the underground espionage layer. And if maybe some astute listeners and watchers of things that we do may be seeing some hints that have been dropping, and some things are going to be coming clearer and coming to light relatively soon here, and that we'll also
able to discuss freely.
Yes, right now we can't, but it's possible.
A neat one that we can discuss is, like, we saw another street geyser.
We did see another street geyser.
Like down on Highland, if you're familiar with the territory, just randomly driving home, but we were kind of stuck back a bit, and then we see, like, I don't know, like 50 feet in the air, just water shooting straight up into the air. Second LA street geyser we saw. The other one was in front of Hollywood High School.
Exactly.
And that was also a chaos vortex time.
Yeah, so absolutely was.
I love a good omen.
We are certainly in it, but if anyone out there enters these particular vortexes, we encourage to do like we do and take that chaos and channel it into inspiration, channel it into your work, channel it into your art, channel it into your life, and make it all part of your life. Because as we always say here, every single thing that surrounds us is our life, is our art, is the underground. That is what the underground is.
Underground, live your art. That's great.
Exactly. That is what the underground is.
Well, yeah, that is true. And in a more wholesome way to do that, I made pancakes this morning. And I just want to say, and that might be why I'm so relaxed, because I'm full of pancakes. Look, this is one of those duh moments where I hear people eating banana pancakes. And I've made banana pancakes when I didn't have any eggs. But I had never kind of like chopped up bananas and then put them in a pancake. And it like caramelizes the sugar and it's so good. Like, duh, why have I never done this? That was amazing. I really, really, and I thought they would be too sweet, I think, is why I never fuck with a banana pancake.
Gotta say, Tara, they were delicious. And I'm quite happy that is how we started our day.
Yeah, and so I encourage everybody, if you are making buttermilk pancakes, just like drop a little banana in there, diced it up. It was fantastic. And then everyone's like, duh, so sorry that I didn't know that. And then two, Mike.
Yeah.
This is also very important news. I just decided that I have, it clicked in my head, like I have favorite potato chips, and I think potato chips like, even though it's not potato, you get two categories. You can have your favorite potato chip. Your favorite chip would be, like, potato style and then corn style.
Sure, sure.
So the late July nacho cheese, hands down, I think, the most superior corn chip in terms of the flavored corn chip category. I find them superior to Doritos.
They taste like taste like 80s Doritos. They taste like Doritos, old school Doritos.
Like, they're really, really coated. They're very flavorful. I very much enjoy them, and I must declare that I think those are the best corn-flavored corn chip category of chip.
They taste like old-school Doritos, 100%.
Do you want to throw any other chip out there? Ranch late July is great, but the nacho cheese is just the best.
I can't argue with you.
Now, I have always had a clear favorite in terms of potato chip, and, you know, people throw out a lot of potato chips. Mike, you're a big fan of the plain.
Man, I'm a fan.
I'm not as much a fan of the plain, but I'm just going to say that everybody knows it's the best chip, and that is Ruffles, sour cream, and cheddar. It's the best chip.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I 100% agree with
that. Like, you know, barbecue chips exist. That's great. They're good. But any time, if I can get a rigid sour cream and cheddar chip, that's the one. You know,
look, that's the chip. In no way will I argue with that. That is absolutely correct. Terry, you are correct on all fronts today.
Thank you. Now, if I'm going to dip it into a French onion type of dip, I might go for plain, or I might go for sour cream and onion. But we're just talking about chip standing alone, chip of its own merit. Those, I think, are the hands down winners.
Which I like to rewind to the pancakes because I had a train that I was gonna get right in there,
segue?
And then we went into, you know, chip talk.
But
I'm gonna bring it back.
Okay.
But I'm gonna bring it back.
Well, I'm just so chilled that I'll allow you to do it. Just like go for it.
I want to say that yes, we started our day with pancakes, and we started our day as we have for like the past week and a half with the first Tears for Fears album,
My
The Hurting.
God.
I said it, The Hurting. That's a very
that
weird
really
way to say it. Yeah, The Hurting is how
so
I would
well.
Normally
Great
say
job.
It. Incredible album that we have just listened to multiple times a day for the past week, 2 weeks, something like that. And why I bring that up leads me to remind anyone in the Los Angeles area tomorrow, because we'll be putting this up right after we're recording this. So Monday, April 13th at The Mermaid, 8 p.m. Tara and I will be doing the Surf and Dead thing. We will be DJing 8 to close. So come on out if you are in the area. It's always a great time. The second Monday of every month, unless anything gets shifted around. But we will be there.
And it sounds late now. And it'll feel late when you're waiting around for 8 o'clock to happen. However, when you're there, feels like just right. Feels perfect. Feels like nighttime.
Yeah, I mean, I would happily start when they open. Like,
I like a 4 p.m. style, personally. However,
yeah, it was actually tough because it used to start at 9, and I felt that was tough. Like, that was tough to wait till 9.
See, I was trying to sell it, Mike, and you're trying to, like, make people anxious about it.
Sorry.
See, I was trying to say it's not very late.
Yes,
even
no, it's
9
not.
9 o'clock is not that late. It just
Correct,
feels late
sorry.
Prior. And then when
now
you're
I'm
in it, it's not
out.
So bad.
Sorry.
Just,
sorry.
You know, let's so keep all the anxiety levels down.
Keep
them like,
all down. Terry, you're just like,
framing.
You are just.
Let's go. I'm having a watermelon kombucha.
Well, I mean, I think part of the calmness is the movie we're discussing today because it is just purely something that is inside of us and that fills us with so much joy. But, yes.
I would be
Monday,
remiss.
April 13th, 8 p.m., The Mermaid. We will be there.
I do feel like if I don't mention this, then everybody's going to be like, why haven't you mentioned it? Is there something going on? Like the Artemis journey around the moon. Have you not? I mean, look, I have been holding off on discussing this with you, Mike. The thing is, everybody's like jerking off over these pictures of the moon. And it's like, what do I care? But here are the exciting points. The exciting points are that you see an eclipse that you hadn't seen. You see a picture of the Earth rise over the horizon of the moon. But all of those things, like, I'm not really excited about all these pictures. You know what I mean? But what I am excited about, again, people can be. I'm not trying to FUD them. But it went through and it saw the dark side of the moon, as we say. The side of the moon, because you know, the moon is in a locked orbit, and you know, we only see the same face every night of the moon, which is an unusual orbit, which has led to many people postulating wild conspiracies, right? So this shot took us past the other side, so we actually got images of the side of the moon that we don't see, the one where everybody's like, there's secret alien bases on this side of the moon, and people launch rockets, and there's all these stations, and all, like, all of these theories about this area. We now have more detailed photographs of that portion of the moon that we can't see, right? It'd be like seeing the back of your head for the first time. Weird. Right? And sometimes we're like, I don't need to see it. And maybe you look at the back of your head for the first time and you're like, yep, that wasn't very exciting. Wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, so again, be as excited as you want to be. Just the reentry is the exciting part. Just trust me on this. Because let me just read this to you. So the Artemis II will be traveling at more than 24,000 miles per hour. The spaceship compresses the air in front of it, creating a plasma fireball with temperatures of up to 2,700 degrees Celsius, or 4,892 degrees Fahrenheit, roughly half the surface temperature of our sun. So how do you shield a crew? I ask you, Mike. I ask you, wonderful underground espionage listeners. From a heat this intense.
It sounds
unbelievable.
Insane.
They had to make a specific heat shield that they tested with lasers. They tested underground. They blasted it over and over and over and blasting and blasting, making sure everybody would be protected
and blasting
from the heavy, hot light.
That's some strong
heat. Jizzing all over these astronauts.
That's a strong AC unit they need in there. You know what I mean?
Their
you know
AC.
I mean?
Exactly.
You know they got to have their own fan, you know?
They got to have their own fan. They got to have an AC unit. So that's what I was excited about, is this, like, heat shield necessary to protect them from such an intense rain.
We need one of those.
And guess what? The first heat shield they tried out, it failed. It would have cooked them alive. Like, it's truly the most dangerous part of their mission was the, well, I mean, can't say most, but it was an incredibly dangerous part of their mission was the re-entry, because the Artemis, the other heat shield trials had not worked. Like, they burned up and cracked, and that would have cooked them alive.
Oh, man, that is just not
and
the
way
I want
to they were
go.
Just, and then they had to have meetings. Can you imagine me these meetings being like, okay, look, we cooked them last time, but we did some more. We went underground. We blasted some lasers at it. It's looking pretty good. Even though you would have been cooked last time, I think we got it. I think we got it. You know what I mean? And that is the interesting part for me. Sorry.
Why did you apologize?
This is what I do.
It's amazing.
Expect me to do it. That's what I do. Anyway.
Swing that pendulum. You know, you're like, here's this, and then now I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was really excited about, was to see whether or not they'd be cooked alive. Oh, and then also the temperatures were so hot that during the reentry, during this fireball phase, they lost communication for 4 minutes because it was too hot and because they could not have transmitted anything. So during these 4 silent minutes, everybody inside could have been getting caramelized like bananas and pancakes. Nobody would know.
Insane. Oh, yeah, look, that would not be the way I'd want to go, I'll tell you that.
No, cooked in a pancake.
No.
You would like to cook me in a pancake.
I would like to eat you, yes. Yeah, definitely.
And then the other fun thing that will never happen to us, happened off the coast of Micronesia, darling. A family of 3, 2 men and 1 woman, we're out in their skiff going on a little sail in the ocean, going to a little island. Guess what happened?
Yep. It's something that wouldn't happen to us.
Their engine failed and they got lost at sea for 7 days.
Not us.
No, sorry.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine
not.
Just like, hey, I'm going to take my little boaty boat out with one little engine and just like go to an island.
No.
7 days. And they had to search like 14,000 square miles to find them because of currents. They didn't know where they would end up. So it took 7 days to find the family of 3. But at least they were found, and it wasn't a tragic tale. It's just more like a whatever. I bet they lost a lot of weight. I bet they looked great when they came off. You know what I mean?
Real calorie deficit, you know what I mean?
How many vitamin water zeros do you think they took with them? How much water did they have in their skiff?
Do they have any delish?
Did they have any delish?
Do they have any bags of chicken?
Oh, my God. Did they have a bag of chicken?
A purse pizza.
Underground espionage listeners, my new favorite portable snack is a bag of chicken. I like to take chicken. I like rotisserie chicken, pull it up. stick it in a bag, maybe throw a sauce on it, maybe just some salt or something, and then I just eat it out of the bag. You know what? It looks crazy, but it tastes great.
It's great. Yeah, I love it.
I stand by it.
You know, I love it. As any listener knows, if you're around us and you are feeling a bit peckish, all you have to do is ask, because chances of Tara having a snack are high.
Yes.
Especially over at the Mermaid Surf and Dad, we're going to have some snacks. Yeah, it's a long night.
Yeah, you know? I'm going to.
But honestly, those are pretty much hoarded for us. So actually, you know what? Back off. Quit asking us.
What are we going to bring a sandwich? Come ask me. I bring extra snacks. No, I call them like decoys, like for everything. You know,
if I'm in a situation,
I have a decoy. Like if I have a really good pair of scissors that I like, then I leave another pair of scissors
out.
It's
a good call.
So that certain people can't find my good scissors.
Yeah.
And then they take the crappy ones. Like I always have a decoy out. So that if somebody comes looking for something, they take that and not the one that I like.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you do it.
It is a good call, much like a good call that we had that any listener could and should have. And that call is the call of watching Miami Connection.
Taekwon. I mean, Miami Connection has been such a font of joy in our lives.
It is truly something you can turn to in times of chaos, in times of joy, in times of sadness. Really, any time it can bring something to your life. Now, of course, certainly, this is something we've talked about on other series, but it felt like it was time to solidify it here on Underground Espionage. Spring is here. We look to sunnier and warmer days, and Miami Connection can really usher that in.
And I do remember, like, living in Michigan, how when finally the snow would melt and the weather would break, you just had this, like, sense of optimism,
yeah.
You know, because it felt like things were moving. It felt like things are changing. It was such a palpable, like, sense. And, like, if you want to, like, spark that optimism, joy,
yeah,
appreciation, excitement,
yeah,
about life within yourself, if you want to be inspired to create something, if you're feeling self-conscious and need a reason to believe in yourself, I think Miami Connection is the right thing for you to watch, because it can bring forth all of those sensations while viewing.
I fully agree, and it's one of those that is so much fun to bring and introduced to someone in your life. For example, we were introduced to this by our great longtime friend, Gary. And when he showed it to us so many years ago, it was one where he's like, I can't wait to watch this with you. I can't wait to watch you experience it for the first time.
Yes.
And that's how we feel when we show someone this for the first time.
And it's so fun watching it with someone who's never seen it. So we watched it with a friend.
A friend!
And it was like watching it for the first time again, because we get to see their perplexed expressions as they're...
The joy.
But as they're truly trying to digest what they're seeing. Now, I do remember, Mike, when we had our house and we were going on tour with Clay Rendering, and we had a house sitter, and our house sitter invited people over, didn't honestly ask us if they could have a small party.
Straight up had a party at our house.
Straight up had a party at our house, and then told us about it. And then took my cheese knives. I love her so much. I love you,
she
Kim.
She stole a lot of stuff.
I love you, Kim, but you took my cheese knives.
Ruined,
you know,
our carpet cleaner.
Oh, she did ruin the carpet cleaner.
Stole.
Oh, I love her so much. I'll never hold it against her. She's the best. Can't ever hold it against her. But she did house sit and have a party in her home. And of all things that she chose, going through a movie collection, which, holy shit, like, could have been a lot of wild stuff.
Woo! I mean, look,
woo!
Yeah.
Play with fire there, friend. But chose Miami Connection to watch for in front of a bunch of just people at a party. And
with no context.
With no context. Not a single person there knew what it was. So I remember getting the text, like, we're watching one of your movies. This is insane, but I love it. And I was like, oh my God, of all things. Like, that actually is the perfect thing to pick. And not having a context or understanding what it is.
It, to me, it's a... It, any time we've done this, or another time at that same house back in the day, again, our good friend Matt Minter and his band Wretched Worst came through to tour, and they got in early, so we hung out. We watched Miami Connection before the show, got back after the show, and we watched Miami Connection again. So it's just one of those where you just there's we watched it on the plane to Japan because we wanted to mix up our movies from movies we hadn't seen that we've been looking forward to see to just comfort classics.
Yeah, something it's a we could relax flight. To. Yeah,
and so Miami Connection was on that flight. It's again, like I said, it's one where good mood put it on and you're gonna it's gonna increase your mood. Bad mood. Put it on, you're gonna
come out of that. You're gonna soften up. Well, let me read this description because I do actually think this is a nice, succinct description. I mean, it doesn't really capture it, but it's really succinct. A martial arts rock band goes up against a band of motorcycle ninjas who have tightened their grip on Florida's narcotics trade. And there you go.
I mean, you know,
I mean, that's it. That's what you're dealing with.
I think that sums it up, but. Assuming many people listening have seen this, and again, if you haven't, I think our discussion of it today will only encourage you to grab it and pop it in immediately. We did watch the great Vinegar Syndrome Blu-ray version, but of course we have the old school Alamo Drafthouse version. However you get this,
yeah,
is A-okay.
And also, like, I hadn't really understood properly until this time the amount that Miami Connection has influenced our vernacular. I mean, the things that we say from this film.
Without thinking, without even thinking it's, realizing it's from the film, it's just in our normal day-to-day talking.
Yeah, region. Like, such as, like one of the people from the rock band, the motorcycle gang rock band, which again is separate from the ninjas. I must emphasize that because they team up and it like takes a minute to really understand what's going on because everybody is going to fight. Most of them are martial artists. Not all of them are ninjas. The good guys do taekwondo. Correct. I'm going to go off on a tangent here, so I can't get lost in the weeds because there's a lot to unpack. But this gentleman, you know, goes to the gym where the ninjas work out, I guess, and he says, "Don't show me a poor time," and screams it in someone's face. And how many times do we scream, "Don't show me a poor time," Mike? Like,
yeah,
at least once a week, maybe once a day.
Yeah, and of course, as we've already done,
be shown a poor
and
time.
I'm sure we've done it just randomly on multiple episodes. But as we've already done, you know, if we ever mention like a friend.
It's like a friend. Yeah, a friend. such as when the man who is the Orlando ninja is upset that his sister is smooching a taekwondo band member on stage who does not deal cocaine. So he's upset. And she's like, "Hey, don't worry about it. He's just a friend."
A friend.
And that's what he yells at her. But he says it exactly like that. A friend. And so, you know, you can just delight yourself by screaming a friend back in someone's face just like that, as we often do. If anyone mentions a friend, like, "Oh, I went out to have some coffee with a friend."
Yesterday. A friend!
Oh. Yeah, exactly. So it's fun. You can delight yourself by doing that because no one else will get it. But we will. We'll get it here.
Hey, and you know what? You can tell them where you heard about it.
You can tell them. Or such as when, you know, if you're describing your sad childhood and you're like, "My dad left my mother and started a new family. And my mother lived a sad life. And shortly after that, she died." Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is just incredible. From, of course, the footage at the club to all the fights that happen. I mean, it kicks off right away with a drug deal gone bad. There's a drug deal happening, but the ninjas are going to take over, just killing people, some great kills right away. They get that cocaine. But Tara, do they forget the most important thing?
Yeah.
Where's the money? Where's the money? You got the drugs, but where's the money?
I think that's a really important point. If you are thwarting a cocaine deal and you're going to kill everybody like involved, like you need to like remember to get the drugs, but also you better grab that money too. You don't just kill everybody and forget the money. I mean, the guy has a point.
Yeah, he has a valid point.
Like, what's the point in murdering the people that you're dealing drugs to if you don't get the money back? I mean, like, honestly, he has a point. And this brings me to my point, Mike. Yeah. Much like the Pamela Such film, the Operation Stormcloud, we were doing commentary for. I watched it at first and I was like, this does not make sense. This is outlandish. What am I watching? And then I watched it again. Then I ended up watching it 5 times. We did together. And
yes,
the more I watched it, the more it made perfect sense. There was nothing left. There's no open ends, you know, loose ends. That's what I'm looking for. It's all kind of tied up. And I do kind of feel that about this at this point. Like, it's like I've reached the zen moment of watching Miami Connection so many times that everything makes perfect sense.
Totally.
Because initially we were like, it's called Miami Connection, but it takes place in Orlando.
But the Coke connection is Miami. The Miami.
Yes. It's like, you know, if you really, you just need to shift your focus and like understand that Jeff, like, he's such a tough Coke dealer in Orlando trying to make it, you know, expand his business.
Yeah.
And, you know, the linchpin in his business expansion is this club where a band, Dragon Sound, has been employed to play. However, Dragon Sound somehow doesn't, like, somehow the bands that play dictate whether or not you sell Coke at the club.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I mean, that's what happens when we play shows.
Yeah.
You know, when we play a show, we're like, yeah, I'm playing one show here, and now I'm the only band that plays here because that's what
the
I
only
do.
Band.
Only band that plays here. And then they are like, well, since you're the only band that plays here, can we deal Coke
and
in
we
the
say
club?
No.
And then we're like, no. We like friendship, loyalty, honesty, integrity.
Yeah.
And
alcohol.
And alcohol and they like taekwondo.
Yes. We like all these things. That's, but we don't. We will not allow
breaking boards.
Oh, hey, I'm going to interject now, which I should have done at the beginning. But, you know, obviously we still have time. You just reminded
me. We have unlimited time. We're not charged by the minute here. You know what I mean?
I meant we have time.
We could go for 5 hours. I am that chill. I have 3/4 of a kombucha and a big mug of water.
I meant we have time for the announcing and preparing. But was announced this week that Yellow Gasolines will be playing with Old Tower in November 7th at the Moroccan Lounge in Los Angeles. So
we will not show you a poor time.
We will not, and we will not allow, you know, nefarious activities to go on. We're going to keep it clean.
Yep.
Friendship, loyalty, honesty, friends for eternity.
Breaking
loyalty.
Boards. I can do some chops. Maybe I can break some boards.
Yeah, so
maybe we'll light some bricks on fire and smash them.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah,
I think Old Tower would enjoy that, honestly.
Might. But Terry, it is a great point that you made, the idea that they're the only band that plays. So one thing I love is that not only are they the only band apparently that plays at this club, their very first show, it's like the guy comes out, introduces them, got the hottest band.
Hey,
you know,
here's
in
the
Orlando.
Hottest new band in Orlando, and that's about the level
a
I give it.
Packed club, just going crazy.
They had no clue what they're saying. They're like, who is this hot band? I saw the words Dragon Sound, and I was like, I'm in.
And we kick it off with friends for eternity, loyalty, honesty. We'll stick together through thick and thin. Friends forever. We'll be together.
We're on top.
Because we play to win.
That's right. That's a good point.
Tara, how much do you love this song?
I mean, it's like rotating through my head now. And, you know, that is a great point that you make. Another element of this film that is so wonderful is that the songs that Dragon Sound play are fantastic.
Yeah, the two Dragon Sound songs are just will literally be in your head for
they
the rest of your life, basically.
They will literally be in your head forever. And then it's just such a joy to watch them because I felt like I was trying to like explore the plot hole, and I don't want to get too like all over the map here. You know what I mean? I was trying to explore like how the plot makes sense, and it's really great, and I was going to lay it down, but just as a, I'm going to take a little road stop, little Terra's roadside attractions. It's such a joy to watch Dragon Sound really play their instruments, because clearly every single person in the band is a master instrumentalist musician. It's fantastic. Like YK Kim, like Mike,
so why this is you so know what? Yeah.
I like, you know, I think we've only been having roadside attractions. I think we need to get back on the road.
But I feel like with this, it's okay. I think we can kind
of we give
keep
ourselves
stopping.
A lot of outs, but maybe we need to hold ourselves accountable on this one. So YK Kim. Because I feel like everyone needs to appreciate YK Kim. And in case they have seen this, they don't know that YK Kim owned martial arts studios.
Taekwondo.
Well, yes, I was being broad. Specifically. And he, this is his film. This is his baby. Yeah. This is his project, right? And the director is the man who owns the pizza restaurant, I believe, or whatever type of restaurant that is.
Again, other podcasts are very, very well researched. We are just flying by the seat of our pants.
Well, we, yeah.
And we've
they
just seen
are,
this so much.
So we don't have to be.
Exactly.
So YK Kim's area of expertise, like what he's bringing to the table, are his students, who he is, you know, confident in their acting ability, his students that can do, perform Taekwondo, right? Which
is pretty much all of Dragon Sound, except for the mustachioed
songwriter
who wrote the songs and everything. He's the, as far as I know, he's the only one who's not one of the students.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the only one who's not one of the students.
So, oh, okay. Well,
I believe so.
Yeah.
The mustachioed guitar player.
Yeah, he looks like a really cool
John Oates.
Yeah, he looks like John Oates. He looks like many like yacht rock gentlemen. He looks like he would be in a band that would feature a saxophone or something of that nature. He looks like he's not a stranger to a skinny tie. He's that type of guy. Beautiful, exactly. Permed hair, mustache. Okay, that gentleman and Jane, the lady. They can do things on stage. They can perform. They can play instruments. But so YK Kim, you know, as he's in Dragon Sound, he is one of three guitarists. And his guitar somehow, like, the strap is just gone. And, like, he just kind of holds it by the neck and, like, waves his arm in front of it. Sometimes it's up. Sometimes it's down. I don't know how his strap keeps falling, because it does have a strap. And he's, to me, he is the number one source of fun when watching Dragon Sound. I can't take my eyes off I can't take my eyes off of YK Kim at any time. Like,
correct.
YK Kim is mesmerizing. However, I will say that you can challenge yourself to see the keyboard player is also very
Jim.
Jim is, I was blanking on Jim's name. We didn't take any notes because we were like, I don't think we need to take notes.
And I like that YK Kim's name is Mark.
Mark?
Too. Like, it just,
I know everybody's like, Jane.
Doesn't clock.
Well, this is why it's hard. These are the most impossible names for me to remember. Tom, Jim, Jack, John,
yeah,
Jane, Jeff, and Mark.
They're literally.
I don't know. It's like.
They're the most slippery names.
Like,
what is your character name? Well, you're Tom, you're Jeff, you're Mark, you're Jack,
I
can't believe
John.
There's not a Mike. Is there?
Is there
oh, wait,
a Mike?
There is. Isn't there?
No, yeah.
Is
Mike
the, Mike, is
yeah.
Mike the. Is Mike the.
I feel like Mike
the
was
ninja
one of the, ninja.
The white wearing ninja? Is
no,
he Mike?
No, they're all called Ninja. Their name's Jeff's Ninja. Jeff's gang member,
yeah.
Ninja. I don't know. You know, I'll have to do further research. You know, we'll get back to everybody next week on that one.
Probably won't.
However, but when Jim is playing the keyboard, I had never realized how high-handed he is. He pulls his hands up in the air like he's a marionette, clanking upon them. Like, he's pulling his hands over his head. He's very, like, he's like the long-lost Marx brother. You know what I mean? It's like he comes from the piano-playing school of Chico Marx.
Yeah, playing a Prophet 600, you know what I mean? Got that good synth up there.
Got that good synth up there. Yeah, but, yeah, that's good. That is good synth to have. Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, I always say, Tara, you are my favorite air instrumentalist.
Uh-huh.
I could watch you play every instrument in the air for 12 hours straight, and I would never get tired of it. It is true. That
it's
because
I took a pantomime class in fifth grade. That
brings
why
me joy.
I'm so good at it.
But YK Kim, I could see watching him.
YK, the Olive Dragon sound. The drummer, also, like, if you really want to check out the drumming, it's great. It's kind of like a boop and boop. The drumming is fantastic. Anyway, Olive Dragon sound is great. And what makes their performance so remarkable is also that sometimes they, why can't I remember what they're called? They're called Obis. Is that what the karate jacket is called? Like those. And then the pants. I can't remember what those are called.
Gi.
Gi! Thank you.
I was
God.
Like,
Obis the belt.
Like, for CDs.
Obis the belt. yeah, it's a belt, and that's why it's on the CD. Yes. Okay. Gee. Yeah. So they all like they will pop that on every now and then, do just like a live demonstration. They'll break some boards on stage. I mean, loves them.
I'm not breaking any boards on that stage.
Again, you can't stop quoting. Okay. So that is another reason to just absolutely fall in love with this film. And so, going back to plot devices, going back to, like, again, some films you have to watch them several times because they're hard to follow.
Some films you watch several times because you just can't get enough.
And I think this one, it's like the reason it's so rewarding to watch it several times is that there's so much going on. You cannot appreciate it in one watch. Like, there's so, you can miss a lot of things because you don't know what to look at. You're like, should I focus on this song? Should I focus on the people in the audience that are clapping arrhythmically? Should I focus on what YK Kim is doing? Should I focus on the ninjas? Like, should I focus on trying to follow what's actually happening in front of me? You won't know because there's so much going on.
Yeah, and you also, you know, you get right away that Jeff is pissed that his sister is in Dragon's Honey. The look on his face when he walks into the club and sees her up there, he's just like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Well, I mean, if you really think about it, so, okay, I'm going to go back to, like, how solid the plot is, right? So I'm going to double down on it. And I'll just say, like, okay, so you are dealing cocaine. You're trying to expand your business. You made this Miami connection.
Hey, get the coke. Get some coke. It's the best.
It's the best coke. You invite this really cool Miami ninja. He has like a whole gang of ninjas. You invite him over to this club where you're looking to like run your business. And you want to like impress him and say like, here's my plan. And instead you're met with this like squeaky clean band. Who's going to ruin your plans because the band gets to decide how much coke is sold in the club. And these guys aren't going to let you.
None.
And so then you got to like face this guy. And then you see that your sister's on fucking stage kissing a goofball with the dopiest face you ever seen. Just smiling and yucking it up. Meanwhile, you're poised to look like a doofus in front of your business partner. And you might lose millions. Or you might not make the millions that you were going to make. So I can see why Jeff is pretty pissed. He's got a feather earring.
He's dangling that earring.
He likes to cut the sleeves off of his shirts and sometimes even wear a tight shirt under it. Everybody's shirt's fitted. Like, I would say even though this is the 80s, they have the tight shirtness of the 70s. Everybody's showing off that rock hard bod in this film.
They sure are. And you then get to see that all of Dragon's Honey, while not only are they Taekwondo experts, not only are they the hottest band in Orlando, they're also college students at University of Central Florida.
Oh, I thought you were going to say orphans.
They are all orphans. That is true, too.
Okay, I'm going to go back.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just going to reel it back, and then I'm going to say.
I
so now
Sarah.
We have Jeff.
I apologize for everything I've done up to this point.
We have Jeff, and he's pissed. He goes to thank you, I accept. He goes to the University of Central Florida. Which, again, we have to say that, you know, they're all, like, good kids. We know that because we see them in the computer lab, and they're at the programming lab. And guess what? Some of them were on the team that went to the national competition for computer programming. And, Mike, they're really proud. And the professor, like, wants to call everybody out because Jane is in this lab, and I don't know who else was. And he's like, you know, I just want to say congratulations to our team. They went to national competition and they just ranked fourth.
I love that they choose to be ranked fourth.
And then everybody claps.
Not
politely.
Third, not second, not even first.
They we're making this shit up, man. Like, you're gonna make them national champions. Nobody is going to be like, bullshit, University of Central Florida sucks. They'll never be national champions. Like, we're not going to question it, guy. Like, do you think maybe, like, the University of Florida actually did place fourth and that guy was just wanting to, like, let everybody know? Do you think that was the actual professor there? Because it had to be University of Central Florida. And maybe he was, like, trying to, like, toot his own horn, like, you know what, I'm going to brag a little in this film and I'm going to let everybody know that we got fucking fourth. Like, it's so really good. Nice. So that's fantastic. So, you know, we get a little glimpse into how, like, sweet and smart they are. And that is where Jeff comes to approach his sister and say, hey, I don't like you hanging around these guys.
He brings the whole gang, which are a gang of just ne'er-do-wells, of thugs.
Yeah.
No good.
It's like the guys that look like the character Joe Dirt is based on.
That one guy.
That one guy. Was, like, again, you're going to get distracted. You need to watch this a lot. And he also is why I want a belly chain, because he wears belly chains. And, like, don't you think I need to wear a belly chain?
I think,
they're so cute.
I think the pick of Liv Morgan had you.
Yes, but
that was it. I think that sealed the deal.
Sealed the deal, because I forgot about it until I saw the picture.
There's been a lot of talk of belly rings
and belly chains. Well, heads up.
In the chaos vortex.
Guess what? Tomorrow, we're going to actualize all of these discussions. Now, so this gentleman likes to wear bracelets and scarves and tight pants and mullets and hats and several hats. Plus, he accessorizes. He's like a dirty Axl Rose with a belly chain. I love him. But, and he's quite squeezily as well.
Yes, but this is where we get the confrontation and the talk about friends.
A friend!
And he just is pissed. He's like, why are you hanging around with these Dragon Sound guys? Like, he's so mad.
Yeah.
Dragon Sound sees what's happening, comes over to help, and it looks like a big fight is going to ensue.
Yeah, but then what's crazy is, so, like, now they're getting approached by Jeff, but then at a later time, because they all, okay, and by the way, so Dragon Sound lives together. Why do they live together? Well, they're all college students, right?
Yep.
You know, clearly they're all so fresh, so young. YK Kim is like wearing his cool, like, short, his little, like, tank top and tight jeans that are all the way up to, like, high waisted. Like, I would wear YK Kim's jeans. They're really great. Because they're college students. And would you say there's not a chance that he's less than 40?
I mean, look, man.
He's great, but it's awesome. And he has, like, different levels of eyeliner throughout the film, which makes me so happy. I say lean into it, go with even more eyeliner. Yeah. Anyway, but so Dragon Sound rolls together all in one kind of beat up white convertible. And who's it getting beaten up by? A lot of different people, because they're confronted. So Jeff's gang of kind of like karate, martial art bikers, but then we also have the other band that was playing at the club, because here's what's so confusing.
Yes.
The other band that was playing at the club is really upset, and then they go to Jeff's gym, and, you know, because everybody's a hard body, and they're like, hey.
Here's the deal.
You get rid of Dragon Sound. They're pretty tough characters, because, like, they approach Dragon Sound, and they're like, you give up that deal. That's our club. You fucking back off. And they, like, tried to pour beer on him, and they tried to beat him up, but they couldn't beat him up, right? Because they're martial artists.
He's like, they're all experts in taekwondo. They're pretty bad.
Yeah, and they are, right?
Yeah.
So, like, these guys, that's what you do. Like, if you want to play a club, you go beat up somebody. Like, if you want a job, if you want to be a barista at Starbucks, you get in there and you beat their ass. And that's how you get a job. You know what I mean? Like, automatically, if you beat their ass, then that is your job. Like, walk in and you're like, this kid's toast. I'm stepping in. You put on their apron and you're like, I don't think you want a cappuccino. I think you want a latte.
Yeah, what? Hive Mind's playing a gig. Yellow Gas Flame shows up. You're like, hey, man, it's going down.
Yeah,
we're
just
beat your ass and we're getting on stage.
Slash Gray's tires on his car.
Yeah.
Slash his tires, and we're like, not anymore. Guess who's on the bill now? Cross it out.
Yeah.
Write yellow gas flames. Like, anything. You just, like, exit out on the flyer, write your name.
Yeah,
That's how you get a gig.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
So they tried to beat their ass and get their gig, but they couldn't. So then they had to go make a deal with Jeff, because I think the first few times I watched this, I was like, well, if the band works for Jeff, how is he not hiring? Like, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, I think it wasn't clocking.
Yeah,
you know,
but,
what I mean?
But Tara, what is the great deal that this band offers?
I mean, clearly this band, they're really great businessmen. So what they do is they say, Jeff, buddy, like, if you get rid of Dragon Sound, you can have all the proceeds from what we would make, like, playing this club. And Jeff's like, okay, cool, yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah, the band's like, we're going to play. They're so concerned about losing their job, but then what they offer is to give Jeff all the money they make.
So they're like, I don't want to lose this job.
That's a great work ethic.
So I'm going to, you know. And I'm like, do they just sell a shitload of merch?
Well,
like,
and now here's the other thing
that
we've...
It's just such a hot club.
Here's the other thing we've discussed since our very first watch, because you never do hear this other band. Mm-hmm. All you hear is he says, Dragon Sound play music for fucking kids. Fucking kiddie music, right? Yeah. So I really want to know what this other band sounds like. I've always wanted to know.
We need a sequel with this other band.
In some ways, you sort of think, well, maybe it's sort of like a Steely Dan... Or yeah. Maybe like an Ambrosia, maybe
like I wore a Coca-Cola sweatshirt.
Like a, you know, maybe even like a Christopher Cross, a Michael McDonald. But then, when he's wearing the Kill 'Em All, cutoff and the sort of Brian Johnson, mm-hmm. you know, Scully, you're sort of like, well, maybe are they kind of more like an AC/DC?
Well, I had a Pink Floyd hat.
It's hard. I've always wanted to know. They're sending a lot of mixed signals. But again, I like the idea that this club has one band.
That's it.
No more. You can't. There's no room for two bands.
And how many nights a week is this club open? One?
Right.
Two?
Right.
Three?
A lot of questions.
Every
still.
Night. Yeah. Every night. You know what I mean? And yeah, and then like how much? Maybe it's kind of like the Comedy Store, and they're just paid like $15 a performance. You know?
Well, no, because they do at one point discuss how Dragon Sound discusses how this is their ink. Like, this is how they make a living.
Well, they can't make too much of a living because it's like five dudes in one apartment and they have a U-Haul blanket on their bed.
Well, they're saving money.
That's true. That's true. I mean, maybe that U-Haul will blanket on YK Kim's bed.
They have one bunch
like
of grapes
where
YK Kim just shoves it in all their mouths.
Yeah. Okay. So now, this is the deal, right? So now Jeff's really involved. So not only did Jeff want to get rid of Dragon Sound before, but now Jeff is poised to really benefit in terms of getting the payment of the other band if Dragon Sound's gone. So Jeff's going to double down. I mean, Jeff was already committed, but now he's doubly committed. But such a joy when we get to catch a glimpse of the day-to-day in the home of Dragon Sound.
I mean, of course, something that really has to be established is that Jim, you know, well... It is established that they are all orphans,
yes.
As YK Kim says. I thought we were all orphans.
Yes, so Jim is receiving letters and inquiring into the location of his father, and everybody's like, what? I didn't think any of us had a father. I thought we were all orphans. And then that also confused me on first watch, because I was like, is this like a a step orphanage for boys? Like, is it supposed to be like some institution where like... aging orphans go to college? Like, what I don't understand the nature of this home, but I love it, and I'm so glad they're all together, and I'm so glad they all found each other in this way. But Jim, you know, his mother said that, like, while it was, I forget where he was stationed, was it Korea? I think it was
well
Korea.
Yeah, because he says my mother's South Korean, yeah. And my father's Black American.
That's right.
Establishes that, and then but we established that he's been looking for his dad, and that he's crying and he's so mad at his dad because he left them. Yeah. And this is where the emotion comes in.
Yeah, and this is one of the other divergent plot lines, one of 40 that we get in this film. But it really
this is the most important one, though.
It really is important because we get a lot of shots of Jim going out to the really tall mailbox looking super disappointed. And it's such like a Floridian mailbox, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's out on a street with no curb, and it's about head height.
How the crew just a lot of hangs out in towels a lot, or just with their pants unbuttoned, mm-hmm. shirt off. Like, they're, you know, they're comfortable around
each
other.
With their underwear showing.
And I like that.
And I like that they're so comfortable, and they're always waiting for the shower, but I think it's because there's five of them in a home with one bathroom.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Can you imagine five?
It makes me, it reminds me of touring and staying at people's places. Where I can't imagine doing that. Like the rotating, like, oh, we got to take five showers this morning. Like,
yeah. And you're just waiting for your turn. And then.
And you're in a strange house.
But also you have to have that towel because it's like normal bathrooms aren't set up to have like five separate towels like hanging around. So you got to have your towel ready and everything.
It's
like,
important.
Yeah, did you take towels on tour? Some people
No, some people do, but the reason I never did was because what do you do? What do you...
Yeah, what do you let it dry, like sit on it or whatever? I would, like, you know, I think the thing to do would be, like, lay it out on the seat, let it dry, then put it in your pillow. So it's
No, I never did.
No, you never did. But people we know did take towels, but we never did that type of thing.
No.
Be a beach towel just because it's in our car.
Well, yeah,
we do keep beach towels in our trunk.
Yeah,
you never know when you need a flotation device.
You know what? We keep a fan.
Towel. Got a fan.
Most importantly, the fan.
The fan. I mean, the fan just stays. The fan. So, I wonder how many fans were in the home of Dragon Sound. So, you know, I mean, this is pretty much what happens. And everything escalates. Jim's looking for his dad.
That's pretty much what happens.
And then shortly after that, she died. she had a sad life, and shortly after that, she died. Really sums it up. There you go. So, you know, we have escalation, we have Jeff trying to beat people up, we have fights with chains, we have demonstrations, we introduce a character, which in reflection, like, I will say the whole like divergent storyline of the restaurant owner who's being assaulted by the gang and he has to like fend them off also with Taekwondo because they constantly are trying to steal pizza slices or something. That kind of went nowhere.
I mean, you know, we got to see that great restaurant. To see that great restaurant and his great Mickey and Minnie apron. So
yeah,
that's worth it
Mickey
for
Minnie
that. But
apron,
Terry,
yeah.
Good point. The demonstration scene where we do see YK Kim demonstrating his skills that will come into play at the climax.
It does. But you think it won't, but it does.
More importantly is the conversation that they have. And this is where, you know.
Speaking of planning tours.
And thinking about, you know, what they could do on stage. And, you know, our man says, you know, hey, you know, it'd be pretty cool if we did some Taekwondo stuff on stage and maybe, you know, get up there and break some boards, you know. And our other man says, hey, I'm down to do some, you know, Taekwondo, but not breaking any boards on that stage.
I'm not breaking any boards on. He's kind of the most biggest bummer.
He's a drip, but
he is a drip, but he has big dreams because you can also tell that, like, he's never planned a tour because he was talking about how, you know, they're an international band pretty much because we have someone from Korea. We have an Italian-American. So then they could be Italian. They could go to
Ireland.
Israel. They're like, you know, it's cool. Like Dragon Sound, we should book a tour where we're an international band where we go to all of our homelands. And like, that's a great idea. Like, you should fly to Korea. Then fly
to
Ireland
to
play a show, then fly to Israel to
really
play a show.
Really bad tour plan.
Really? I mean, I think that maybe early on you had some tours that were kind of booked like that, Mike, where it'd be like, we'll play in Texas, then California, then back in Texas.
Yes, the craziest one. Not the craziest. I mean, there's been multiple, but... driving from Seattle, so that's at two overnights back home.
Yeah.
To go to sleep, to wake up, to fly to Brazil. It consisted. So that was 4 days. Three or 4 days.
Yeah, that's dumb.
So let's just say Seattle was played on a Friday. We leave directly after the show. Drive. So then Saturday, drive, and then stay up.
To Michigan.
Drive Sunday.
Yeah.
Get to Michigan on the Sunday, and then fly on the Monday. So whatever that means.
That's wild.
stupid.
That's confusing.
Yeah, stupid.
But wait, whatever. Didn't you play somewhere where it was technically like two on the same day because of the time change?
Latvia and Seattle apparently comes into play a bunch. Latvia.
Seattle, always a poor choice.
Yeah.
Show me a poor time.
Yeah, Latvia and Seattle technically on the same date in the same day with all the traveling, with all the time changing, with the time that we had played in Latvia and then the time we played in Seattle.
Like Latvia was like 5 a.m.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Well, yeah, we played at 4 a.m., got off stage, went into the cab to take us to the airport, a million stops, time changes, et cetera, place, get off the plane, play Seattle.
Okay, so this guy booked that tour, basically.
Basically, and I like that.
I don't know what his name is. Tom, yeah, Jack.
And then I like that.
Not Jim.
They, you know, it's like, we're going to play and do Taekwondo demonstrations and promote peace. And then the guy, he's like, hey, think we could have some time for some dinner in between saving the world?
In between saving the world, we'll get a little time for dinner?
So this big goofball.
So again, it's, I don't know, I think it's.
Hey.
It's very important.
I'm not breaking any boards on that stage.
But yeah, the demonstration part is also one of my favorites because they're just on the campus, on the grass, barefoot, in the University of Central Florida. And Mike, you know, I mean, I think something that we'd be remiss without discussing is, you know, if you were doing a demonstration, would you allow YK Kim to grab your nose with his bare toes?
No.
It's a wild move. Like, I think that is one of the most shocking things in this film is that
shocking.
YK Kim, multiple occasions,
it's his thing.
Grabs a man with his toes.
It's his thing.
On the nose.
Yeah.
I don't like people grabbing my nose. First of all, I don't like my nose being grabbed.
Second of all, you know what? I don't think I've ever really grabbed your nose. Now I want to.
I don't want you to.
Now I don't like it.
I don't like my nose. About it. No, don't you grab my nose. I don't want to.
You have such a cute little nose.
It's not cute. It's all stuffy all the time. And like,
it's true. I don't want to mess with you.
It's gross. It's gross.
But now I kind of want to bite it.
Ugh. Damn it. YK Kim strikes again.
Staring at it.
I'm going to put it under this microphone. But like, can you just like, you don't just like go out in the grass. You're standing around the grass. You got dirty feet. You don't just like walk up to an adult man and grab their nose with your feet. Like, this is weird. Like, it's just not something that you would think would happen. And then he's walking around barefoot, breaking boards, kicking stuff at a dirty club. And he goes over and he grabs Jim's nose. And Jim's like, ow, ow, ow. And he's like, yeah, ow, ow, ow. Like, his feet probably smell like beer. He's got, like, broken glass in him. And it's gross. And now it's all over his face. It's disgusting. This was really unhinged. Like, you do not walk around barefoot in dirty grass where dogs pee, grab somebody's nose, face. You don't go in a dirty club, kick a bunch of boards, everybody's having a good time, and then you take a keyboard player's nose in your foot. Wrong.
Not happening.
It's wrong. But it is great film. It does make everything wonderful. So, you know, he had a sad life shortly after
Wait, did we discuss the first one, but we didn't discuss Against the Ninja.
Yeah, you don't want to go Against the Ninja. Against the Ninja. Oh my god. And when Jane is wearing a beautiful, like, just white lace pants, totally see-through white lace pants and a sheer top and her hair so big, she's such a fucking star. God, I love her so much. She's so charming. She always wears like red accessories. Like, she really is a star in this.
We will stop the senseless killing.
Yeah.
We will end this evil war.
We will end this evil war. It's so good.
We'll even up the score.
Yeah.
Against the Ninja.
They do go against the Ninja.
Taekwondo. I feel that her singing range is, I feel like it's in your range. Is her voice and your voice.
Yeah.
I feel like these are the songs that you definitely can nail.
Yeah, I can nail these type of songs.
Right?
That's great. Yeah.
Like, we will stop the senseless killing.
Yeah. Yeah. We will end this evil war.
And I think you could really belt it out. You know what I mean?
I will. I'm not going to right now. I feel like I haven't. I had a proper vocal warm up. I'm drinking kombucha. I don't want to like
banana pancakes.
I don't want to like do
chips.
Justin's. Yeah. Yeah. But I do enjoy that. She does have a similar like kind of exceedingly high vocal range, which is great.
Yeah. Against the Ninja is just what a song. You know?
So we have that. And again, it'll stick in your head all the time. And you know, Mike, and I know I've thought of this before. But don't ninjas don't do taekwondo.
But I
ninjas are Japanese.
You did bring this up.
And YK Kim is Korean.
But I think that's the whole thing is taekwondo is the is as according to YK Kim and Dragon Sound is gonna superior to the ninja.
I know, right? It's like he's like these ninjas are evil, right? Exactly. They're sneaky. They're always running around in little packs, hiding in shadows, snatching people up, stabbing them.
Messing with the tough guys.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we do get another nice original messing with the tough guys. But, you know, I feel like maybe we were going into, like, a lot of things, but maybe we should bring it up to, like, the fever pitch of the film. So,
the
violence is escalating. Dragon Sound is just slaying with the songs. They are so popular. They're fending off motorcycle ninjas. They're fending off... Well, they don't have to fend off ninjas yet. But... all the violence is escalating until somebody gets kidnapped.
Mustache Man gets kidnapped.
Our true musician. And Dragon Sound would be in a pickle if this guy goes. You know what I mean? Yeah. They cannot continue playing if this man ain't in it. Because
that's true.
He is the primary. He's the lead guitar. He does all the solos. He writes the songs and sheet music like in his bedroom. And then YK Kim walks in and he's like, look, I just wrote this new solo. Kind of like Beethoven did, yeah, you just, know? Just sits YK there, writes a, it like
looks,
a novel.
Looks, glances at the sheet music. He's like, oh, that's going to be pretty good. He's like,
oh, that looks pretty good.
Oh,
what was
that
got?
Like A into C? And
what
then,
do you got? Like a G and a B and then up D? Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that in the key of E flat? That or B flat? That's what Genesis used mostly.
Oh my
so that's
God.
Pretty cool.
Oh my God.
So yeah, they're gonna be in a real pickle. So they need to go get them. So, you know, this kind of ends the Dragon Sound crew being nice. You know, this is where the murder starts.
Now
this is where
Dragon Sound becomes mass murderers.
This is where real violence kind of unfolds, right? And well, we get. Well, once that first killing happens, so, like, now they have to go to an old, like, dump site, old crumbly building. And, you know, the biker gang has all these spiked sticks, but they come armed with long rods. And as they're fighting, you know, actually they do murder people in the beginning. They yank those guys off the pipe and then kind of suffocate them and break their necks. This is when the murder begins. So... They kidnap the main musician. Dragon Sound can't go on. So now they have the bloodlust and vengeance kind of like sparks within them. And they begin murdering the bikers. And in the final push to get their friend back, they have to push Jeff off a building. And he falls to the ground and he dies. And shortly after that, he dies.
He dies. He just is dead. So, you know,
he's
now
he's laying on
killed...
the ground, smashed dead, blood coming from his mouth, his beard is just down there, tattered. So, you know, it upset Jane a little bit.
Very little bit.
She forgave them, fine.
But before we get to see Jane's reaction, we get to see one of the pinnacle scenes in Miami Connection because Jim goes to the mailbox. Next day, they're just sort of just, you know, go back home. They've killed people. But as long as they're bad guys,
they
and you
murdered
kill them,
a few
that's
bikers,
okay.
But they got their friend back.
Yeah,
nobody
so it's
calls
okay.
the police.
No,
nobody worries about any
we're
of
good.
This. We're
good. We're
fine.
All good. Everything's
everybody's like kind of like peachy keen at this point.
Everyone's fine.
Yeah.
Jim goes to the mailbox. Just you know, kind of looking through
no
the mail.
No top. Definitely well,
yeah,
gold
popping
chains.
Popping that top off.
Pants open.
Sure.
White underwear.
Why not?
I just need everybody needs to know this.
Pulling out the mail, just you know, going through maybe a little junk mail, you know, maybe a couple
not
bills.
For me, not
oh,
for me, five
bills
guys.
Are great. Hey, oh boy, ooh, got some bills. You
not
know?
Opening that.
Oh, what's this? What's this, Tara? What's this? What's this little letter in here? Let me just open that up real quick. Huh? Wait, what? My father?
My father!
Oh my God!
Oh my God! And that is what Jim says when he opens a letter. My father. Oh my God! And just like that.
Pure joy.
And
pure
he's so
and
happy.
Utter joy.
And so everybody hears him exclaim this and they run outside and they say, yay, what are we going to do? We got to go to the best suit store in town and buy you a new suit.
Yeah, YK Kim's immediate reaction is to ask what everyone has in the bank.
I have $200.
I have $60. I have $50. And he goes, great, we'll put it all together and go to the best suit store in
town.
Poor
guy with $200. He's like, oh, wait a minute. You have no dollars. I have $200. You have $50? No. So they all go to the suit. The immediate
thought is to go buy Jim a suit.
Because he's got to have a suit to meet his dad. But then they also, Mike, they have to, like, take this man with his pants open and they raise him upon their shoulders and shake him up and down. Enjoy. Because that's how you celebrate. You shake him up and down in the air. And then that was fantastic.
They go get him a suit. They come back. Jane, yes, this is where she's like, you know, I was a little sad, but it's all over now and I'm okay with it.
Her delivery is always like this.
She's fantastic.
I'm a little sad, and now I'm done.
And we head into the climax of the movie because taking Jim to go see his dad, but they are stopped by the ninjas. And it is the final battle between the Dragon Sound Gang, three of them, and the ninjas. And it looks like things are going to get bad because Jim gets slashed.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're pulled out. They have to chase ninjas around. Like, poor Jim in his beautiful suit. All he wants to do is meet his dad. They just bought that suit. And so they're all kind of romping around creek beds. It's like a very Apocalypse Now moment.
They really turned feral.
Yeah. And so the team of Dragon Sound are really, really intent on, like, the ninjas kind of stop their car. Could they have driven away? Probably. But you know what? They know that they have to stand their ground.
Hey. They got to do it.
So they, the ninjas are armed with sabers, with ninja swords.
Yep.
So they all go running through the woods, like slashing each other. And guess what? This is where the bloodbath begins, because Dragon Sound apparently has no qualms about grabbing a ninja sword and like slashing some people.
Pure mass murder.
The biggest, tallest doofus, I can't remember his, John, Jim,
it's killing
Jake,
me because
Steve,
I too, it felt
Jim,
that, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Jack.
The bass player.
There's a bass?
He's a bass player.
Really? Yeah. Oh, well, the guy with the goofiest face, the biggest sweetheart with the snaggle teeth.
Jane's boyfriend.
Like a 6'2", lanky, string bean man.
He really turns feral.
He goes wild. And it's really, it's quite remarkable. When he does, he pops that top off. He gets out in the creek bed. He starts doing, like, you know, it's very like Predator, like, or like something like Sylvester Stallone would do, very Rambo scene. You know, he doesn't tie anything around his head, but he is like, oh, and making these amazing faces. He goes completely feral.
Absolutely.
Murder so many ninjas.
Just on that murder rampage.
Slashing them down.
Hey,
let's
not discount how feral YK Kim goes, because then he goes feral. He's murdering.
He's like, Jim! Jim! And then they all start screaming Jim's name, and he looks really terrifying. YK Kim goes for it, too.
When he confronts the final ninja, who decapitates one of his other ninjas because he's pissed.
Well, the other ninja comes up to the main ninja, the white ninja, the head ninja, the number one ninja, and he's like, Dragon Sound, you know, slayed us all. Everyone's dead. And so what do you do to that? You just kind of like
chop his head off.
But you just like coolly do it. You just kind of like, you know, you do that cool ninja thing where you just like act like you don't care, and then you just slash somebody's head off, like clean off. Boom.
Yeah, and then...
And there's like a stomp and spurts.
And then obviously something happened with that actor, because the final confrontation was with a completely different actor in the white ninja suit.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it was Jeff.
No, it's not.
We used to think it was Jeff.
Yeah,
it's not Jeff.
Because you see a beard, but somehow I remember we did look it up and it wasn't.
Okay.
Well, I don't remember. And hey, you know what? We could be totally wrong.
He is no longer Asian.
But this is where we see YK Kim utilizing all the stuff we saw in the demonstration.
Yeah, YK Kim and his really cool move that we get to see used on the second white ninja is that he kind of turns his back to walk away coolly. Then he sidesteps the like slash at his back. Then he grabs the arm and he turns their arm into him and he stabs him with their own knife. Because he has eyes in the back of his head.
And now
he's seen the back of his head because he can see out of the back of his head.
Exactly. And now they have mass murdered the entire drug dealing ninja gang, all dead.
Yeah, there's no coke in Miami. There's no coke in Orlando.
None.
All the ninjas are dead. The bikers are fucking toast. You know, they're still kind of like reeling from what happened.
But
to
now we
gangs.
Need to save Jim. We need to get him to the hospital quickly. Stat, Tara.
Yeah.
Get him to the hospital, and we see Jim's dad for the first time.
Yeah. Jim's dad is approximately 20 years old. And he has that like spray painted white hair. One of the bikers had spray painted blue hair. But Jim's dad has a mustache, sideburns, eyebrows, all painted white, spray painted white. And it's great. And he is clearly an old man coming to see his son. And wow, it's so good. And it's just so obvious in just a wonderful way that they had not intended for Jim to live. Like, Jim died for real in their original. And there's zero chance, even when you're watching it, like, there's zero chance that they intended for this scene to be added. But probably everybody was so sad that Jim died that they had to bring the dad.
Yeah.
You know, and then they had to, like, make him live when they're like, oh, his wounds aren't as deep as we initially thought, so he's going to live. Like, you're like, oh, they had to do this because it was such a bummer.
But what I love is, thank God they did that. Not only do we get to meet the dad, but we get to see that great final scene where they're walking towards the camera. And everything's okay now. Everything's okay. There's been no police called in because as long as you kill the bad guys, we're good.
The dark mind of YK Kim, I tell you.
And we see them walking towards the camera, cut to black. And to tie everything up, we get the quote, only through the elimination of violence can we achieve world peace.
That's right. God, it's so heavy. And it just like, you're like, oh, good, Jim's alive. He got to meet his dad. They all go out arm in arm in arm like Dragon Sound wins. And then you're like, that was so great. And then you see this. You see this phrase.
By murdering. Slaying,
the elimination
slashing,
of violence,
completely decimating through murder bad guys, that's how we get world peace.
And you just you're looking at it just written out and you're like, yeah, that's right.
I mean, I think he's world peace something. Could be achieved just by getting everyone together and watching Miami Connection.
That's probably true.
I think really just having a great time, anyone listening who owns this, who is loves this movie as much as us, what I would like to encourage you to do in the next couple weeks, this year, just sometime this year, find a friend.
A friend.
Who hasn't seen Miami Connection and sit down, have a nice night, have a good, just a good energy, put this on, and I feel that you then will have enhanced someone's life.
Yeah, yeah, you got to pay it forward. You know, that's what we're called to do. Once we have a responsibility, once we've seen Miami Connection, and that responsibility is to share it with the rest of the world so we can finally achieve world peace.
Oh, Tara, what a fun one.
It's fantastic.
I'm so glad that this is what we did for today, April. The spring is rolling. And we are setting off the spring summer season with Miami.
Spring has blasted all over me.
It is blasting, and it is blasting. Well, I don't know when the next episode will be, like we never really do, but schedules being as they are, we'll just see. That is what I will say. We will just see. You will see.
I
will see, and the listeners of Underground Espionage.
Well, you know what? I'm not worried about it because I'm just so chill right now.
I'm not worried about it because we are riding the tornado. We are cowboy hats on, holding on the reins, and letting the chaos vortex take us where it chooses.
Blessed are those who ride the whirlwinds, for they shall inherit the earth.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for the support. Go watch Miami Connection. Go show a friend.
A friend.
Miami Connection. We'll talk to you next time.